The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games.
Voter fatigue. People are fainting from it. Even the candidate is fainting from it. He's going strong, though, for the meatloaf. It must be the meatloaf. So, look, I got so much I want to talk about all at once. And, you know, I was going to do this today. I was saying, the audience is burned out. I figure you're listening to the show. So let's say I imagine you're the audience. I have to imagine who you are. Now, how do you imagine who hundreds of thousands of people are every 15 minutes are? You can't. You just have to assume, you have to pick like one personality in your mind who's sitting on a rocking chair. I know there are no rocking chairs anymore. Sitting, let's see, it's afternoon in New York, 3 minutes after three, five after three. They're out, they're in the Hamptons. They're on vacation in the Hamptons. Or they live in the Hamptons, not the fancy Hamptons that no one really lives in. The actual Hamptons, let's say. Hampton Hamptons, like the real working class Hamptons. Hamptons. Ham. You can't say Hamptons anymore, by the way. The Muslims don't approve of it. In fact, every village in America that has the word ham in it, Hamlet, gone. Shakespeare's Hamlet will be gone. They want you to burn the books, change your town name. See, we don't fight back. That's our problem. We let these vermin run us over, these rats. Don't get me started. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to go into adrenal fatigue. That's the latest fad now, adrenal fatigue. Every few years, there's a new fad that people think they have. Now it's adrenal fatigue. I could talk about that, too. In fact, I just ordered liver from the restaurant, even though it's high in cholesterol. And you're going to hear me eat. I'm not going to eat on air, but you know, look, it's lunchtime for me. What do you want me to do? It's upset my whole lifestyle. I've been in a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet my whole adult life, which is why I'm still living. Low saturated fat in particular, not low cholesterol. It's a misnomer. I need the liver because my adrenals are tired. I just want the liver. My mother probably knew more about diet than most doctors do today. So I got an email. Why is the fax machine going behind me upsetting my show? I was going to do this today. What? Because I'm in a mischievous mood. Who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who do you hate in Hollywood? I use the word hate pointedly. What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug use, or anti-Americanism? That's a nice question. If you could, who would you put on trial for abusing the First Amendment? That's a loaded one. I'm in the First Amendment, but I'm asking you, who would you put on trial if you could for abusing the First Amendment privileges? Those are important questions. Now, if you just tuned in, yesterday I did a whole show of self-indulgence of me signing a new multi-year radio deal, in case you missed yesterday's show. It's a big story to me. And I got some beautiful emails, and I want to read one Facebook comment, only one, on that topic. Then we're going to have some interesting... I want to thank Alex Jones, by the way. He is the only member of the broadcast media who spent any time on his show congratulating me for this deal. You know, it shows you who a person is, not by who they put down, how they put people down. Anyone could do that, right? Anyone knows how to do that. But you know what a big man is? A big man is someone who says to a competitor or a colleague, in a way, congratulations, job well done. The only one who did it was Alex Jones. That's all. Thanks, Alex. So I get this comment on Facebook from Robert Rivera, who commented on WorldNet Daily this. He says, Trump is beating up the media for what they are, but Savage has been on the front lines for decades and has led a magnificently ferocious and effective campaign against the media. I remember the first time I heard Michael back in the late 90s. He had my ear right away. He resonated with me in so many ways. His fiery tone and thick accent. I like that part. Thick accent. My Irish eyes are smiling, were as captivating as anything I had ever heard. His surly temperament and concise, eclectic intellect were and are unrivaled. He is as honest of a celebrity as you will ever find. He exposes himself as much as he does his enemies. He shares so much and asks for nothing in return. He is the ultimate entertainer. I have not agreed with him on some things from time to time, like about God, but I sure do love the guy and consider him a passing stranger that has become a long-awaited friend. You ever know people you can trust that you never are around, or your schedules conflict with theirs? That is Michael Savage to me. I think the world of him, and he is a marvelous radio king that is always far ahead of the curve while posturing to throw you a knuckleball of his own. He is the trusted friend I will never meet. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for making me laugh and smile when no one else could. I mean that. I'm truly happy for you and your wonderful family. That's a beautiful, beautiful comment. Now, on that note, I want to begin with the big story of the day to me. And the big story of the day to me, and by the way, you can answer the other questions I raised, like who do you hate in Hollywood? What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug use, or anti-Americanism? Who would I put on my list? Tarantino? Taranto? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Tarantino? Tarantino? All vile garbage. One movie after another provoking murder and violence. Put him on a tuxedo, march him along in Hollywood. Look at they hold up. The lowest vermin on the planet they hold up. Or the other one, I'll tell you, I got a real thing for Harvey Weinstein. You know why? It's not that he makes his living peddling filth and hate and pornography and violence. No. That's standard fare. It's that he pretends he's against violence. He wants to make a movie against the Second Amendment for Barack Obama. Could you believe this? I don't know a movie Harvey Weinstein ever made that didn't have a gun in it on a board, on the picture board for the movie. I remember in the 80s, I used to walk past movie theaters when there were still movie theaters that you could walk past. And I was impressed with the fact that every starlet, every so-called starlet or star had a gun in their hand. Every one of them was shown with a pistol. You know, remember that stupid pose that they all had with their hips out, their arms crossed? That was a very popular pose at the time. And then people in radio started imitating it. And the news media, that every photographer made you pose with your arms crossed like you were a mean, tough guy. Well, every picture in the movie theaters had someone with a gun in their hand. And I said, this is no good. This is no good. This is going to provoke children to start killing people with guns. Was I wrong? It's not the Second Amendment that did it. It's the vermin. Excuse me. I don't want to use the word vermin because it's a loaded statement and it turns liberals off. It was used by a certain Austrian in World War II and resulted in many millions of deaths, so I won't use it. I would use the word solenterate, which means worm, a type of worm. I mean, there are many worms. Not all worms are solenterates. Well, excuse me, all worms belong to the phylum, I think, solenterate. I'm not sure anymore. Category of solenterate. I don't remember my Latin anymore. Is it a phylum or is it a... It doesn't matter. Don't, please. I'm going to get like a guy who's going to call on it. They're worms. That's all. I admit I am tired today. Yesterday I could have done a show for 6 hours. Today I woke up, something was wrong. I had to go back to sleep. And what I think it is that it's the myth of Sisyphus. I have so pushed so hard for so long. I won the award with your help. Remember how hard I worked on asking you to do it for me, and you did it, you came through for me, I won it. Then the contract negotiation. It happened, it was signed on Friday. I need a rest. It's like you push a boulder up a mountain, so I'm Sisyphus now. The boulder rolls down the mountain. I got to now go to the other side of the mountain and push it back up. I'm ready to do it. I'll do it maybe in September. But every day I got to push a boulder up a mountain? Yes, Michael. What choice do you have? Just push the boulder. Shut up. I hear God up there saying, well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you an option. You could stop pushing the boulder up the mountain, and you could become just an old retired white guy. You know, you want to be one of them walking around like the Night of the Living Dead? Have you seen the old retired? I'm not blaming them. They work their whole lives on the myth that when they retire, they're going to be happy. They're going to live in Nirvana. And I don't think they do. They don't know what to do with themselves. I see one guy in a neighborhood I live in. He's still alive. He's about 90. He's been retired since I moved in there in 94, 04. I do the math now. You know, 94, 04, 14. 20 years? The guy has not worked a day in his life. Smokes cigars every day. He's 88 years old, 90. I don't know how old he is. An old Italian, no less. It must be the Fajul. I don't know. All he does is put golf bags in the back of a car and drive off somewhere to play with them. How does he live? I don't know, but he looks like a happy guy. I envy him in a way. But I could never be that guy. I just can't. I never learned how to play golf. I don't say I missed anything. I was a kid who never played golf. The once I was on a golf course in my whole life, I was a caddy at the Flagler. I swear to God, I was on the golf course once in my entire life as a caddy at age 14 in the Catskill Mountains at the Flagler Hotel. I'll never forget it. It was a nice experience. They didn't have cars and carts in those days. They had kids. We had jobs. Who invented the cart? They cut jobs out of kids' lives. You carried a bag for people. They threw you a few bucks. It was nice. But I never wanted to play the game. It was too slow for me. It was like to stand there and strike a ball. I know it takes skill. I'm not knocking it. I know how hard it is to make that ball go in the hole. It's just that I have no Scottish genes. It doesn't do anything for me. Move on. Next one. Tennis. Another game too slow for my mind. If you ever watch a game and you think about how slow it really is, again, great skill, not knocking those who can do it better than anyone else. Boring to watch. It comes to the Olympics now. I appreciate the prowess that it takes, but I don't know, it seems voyeuristic to me to sit here in front of a TV set and watch athletes compete. It's like voyeurism. It borders on a little bit on the softcore porn. I'm not into it. So there it is. That's the opening. That's not really the opening. What I really want to do is the whole thing that Trump's doing now, where he said that ISIS was founded by Obama. Now, if you've listened to this radio program for any number of years, or you read any of my books, you'll find that I wrote that and said that in more ways than one for quite a while now. And I'm actually interested as to why Trump said that all of a sudden yesterday, because I said it the day before. Didn't I say it on Monday, almost the same exact thing? I know I did. We have the soundbite to prove it. It means that Donald's listening to me in the car on the way to and from various... I'm convinced of it, because he's a spontaneous guy, and I don't think he's reading scripts. I'm pretty sure that's why he's saying things that offend everybody. And I think he's picking it up here, picking it up there. And Donald, if you're listening, you're welcome on the show anytime. I know that your people are not telling you that, but... Mr. Trump, anytime you want, you're welcome in the Savage Nation. So let's go back to the beginning and go to yesterday's incredible, provocative statement in clip number one.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS, and I would say the co-founder would be Crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, Crooked Hillary Clinton.
That's pretty good. He really has nothing to worry about, because if he loses the election, he can always become a talk show host. Think about how popular he'd be as a radio talk show host. Could you imagine? I wonder if he'd fill in for me. Could you imagine if Donald Trump tried to do a 3-hour show, the kind of mistakes he'd make? This is a rough game here. So on page 62 of Government Zero, I say almost the exact same thing, because it's probably true. How could it not be true? Page 62, don't forget that Obama caused the rise of ISIS. He was warned by the military not to remove all American troops from Iraq, was he not? Was he not told to keep a force of 100,000 there to prevent this from happening? And what did he do? Page 63. He gave them the middle finger. He said, screw you, I know more than you. I am Obama the Great. I know everything. I know better than doctors about medical care. I know better than the military about the military. I know everything about climate. I'm an expert on everything. So he pulled all American troops out of Iraq and created a vacuum. When I come back, I will continue reading from Government Zero, where I said the very same thing about the fact that Obama is the founder of ISIS. And by the way, I'll play some things to prove it, and there's a reason for it. While you're calling, I knew you would. See, I have one thing that's good in radio, amongst many. And this is the key to radio. For those of you who want to break into the field, I wouldn't recommend it. But nevertheless, if you do, if you're foolish enough to ever want to be a talk show host, the one thing you have to know how to do is ask a question that will get a response. And the questions I ask of who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who do you hate in Hollywood the most? What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug abuse, or anti-Americanism? Bingo. Like a pinball machine in Springland, New York, in the spring of my life, The lights are lit. The show has started. We are still in the early stages of takeoff, so please remain seated and keep your seat belts on.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up tomorrow morning from 5 to 9, it's the KSFO Morning Show on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
I have a very important announcement to make in the midst of this very important show about Donald Trump saying Obama is the founder of ISIS. The liver has arrived in the studio. I hear it. The door is open. And I need it. I need the adrenal push. All the young people, everyone's into it. Every day there's another fad. 6 months ago was something else. Now it's the adrenals they're working on. I wrote the book on health. In fact, I wrote 25 books or 20 books on health and nutrition. Going back to 1972, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods. Does it make me all-knowing? No. I mean, I wrote what knowledge was there and put together and hung around with the smartest people in the world in health at the time. I met Linus Pauling, still one of the great geniuses of all time. And Robert Cathcart, the vitamin C guru. All great credentials. And they knew what they were doing. Then they were debunked by the media and debunked by the powers that be in the drug industry. And, of course, I'm distracted, though. Obama is the founder of ISIS, says Trump. So, not to be outdone, here comes Cuckoo Clock Pelosi, which is worth listening to in clip four.
For him to turn around and say what he did about the president and the secretary is so bizarre. It's reminiscent of demagogues who want to be in the press no matter what they have to say. They make their verbal poo-poo any place to get attention.
She has to be the most comical, what was she? What was her job? Wasn't she chief meatball roller for the Congress? Yeah, she was chief meatball roller for the Congress for a while, wasn't she? She taught everyone how to roll meatballs and make them tasty. I think she was, Nancy Pelosi. Using the word verbal poo-poo, this really tops all of the cuckoo clock things she's ever said. Well, when I come back, I'll have a replay for you from May 2015 where I said exactly what Donald Trump said.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
When Irish eyes are smiling,
I always liked the Irish people.
Sure, it's like
I never met an Irish person I didn't get along with. It's a funny thing. They never banned me from entering Ireland. They're not afraid of anyone's words. They live on words. The British were afraid of words. A lot of good at them. I love this. Ban me for words I didn't say and let Muslims come in who run over your nation, rape your women, steal your welfare, say kill everybody, convert you to Sharia law. I love it. What a great nation. Just got an email that Donald Trump will be on this show next week. Good. 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 Very good. Good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. Next week. I think on Wednesday. You know, it's summertime. It's summertime, like it's August. Well, how many days are left of this? Till the election already. God. But August is a lag month. I need a couple of days off. Everyone needs a couple of days off. So let me finish up Obama saying, Trump saying Obama's the founder of ISIS, Nancy Pelosi making a bigger jerk of herself than ever she's done in her life. Verbal poo-poo. I never heard anything like verbal poo-poo. What is wrong with this woman? Why doesn't she just, wait a minute. Why can't Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer just get off the public stage and give some younger, even younger progressives a chance? Anything would be better than these octogenarian maniacs. Don't they understand that it's an embarrassment to keep talking at a certain age? That at a certain point, they have to say to you, Grandma, it's time to stay home and teach us how to make meatballs. You're making a fool of yourself. Nope, no one would say it. The Queen has no clothes. So Donald Trump said Obama's the founder of ISIS. Pelosi said this. That one said that. And I ask you, who do you despise the most in the media and why? And boy, do I have calls. I can't wait to get to them. Who do you hate in Hollywood the most? And I'm using a strong word for a reason, because there are people in Hollywood I hate for their hypocrisy. I hate certain people. Like Leon DiCaprio is a great actor. I love his acting. But who does he think he's fooling with the global warming garbage flying around with the girls on the jets to the yachts? God bless him. He's having fun. I don't know how much fun that could be after a while. You know, every day, Leon DiCaprio's latest girlfriend. Now he's got one from Holland that looks like a beer truck driver with a great woman's body. How does that work? Yeah, I read the Daily Mail, and I get distracted easily on the side panels of the star snaps. I admit I get sucked into them. So I click on it. The woman looks like a Dutch truck driver, but has a great female body. I don't quite understand that one. What is that with the square face from Holland that he suddenly finds attractive? And thick, too, not on the thin side anymore. He's actually becoming a man who likes women. That's shocking. I never thought he'd grow up. So now I have to play for you, just to prove my point, that what Donald Trump said about Obama being the founder of ISIS, I wrote about it. I just read to you from Government Zero. I want to play something from May 2015, clip 20, go. While ISIS was on a rampage into Ramadi, this character, liar Satan, was golfing. ISIS held a massive parade in West Anbar province, celebrating a victory in Ramadi. It went for a half a mile long. Do you remember under Bush we saw a highway of death? Where was one U.S. warplane? Why did the great commander-in-chief not launch an air attack against the ISIS parade of Toyota trucks with machine guns after they took the city before they started their pillaging, raping, and kidnapping? There's only one answer to this. And do you know what the answer is? They're working for Obama. They're working for the U.S. government. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Tell me why the U.S. Air Force was not instructed by the golfer to take out that parade. One warplane could have done it. That was on May 19th, 2015. So, all right, I'm just trying to show you something. Now, in the old days of Godard movies, which I loved in the 60s, he used to show people in the streets of Paris, little leftists would hold up signs with acronyms as agitprop. And my agitprop on that one would be RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. See, that says it all. But you have to go back to the era of agitprop to understand what I just said. RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. That's sort of the agitprop that Godard would have used in one of his movies, but no one even knows who Godard is. No one even eats liver anymore, and I'm going to speak about that. No one eats organ meats. I just asked Robert, as a young guy, comes from a background where I think Eastern European. No, he said, no one eats liver. My mother ate it. She made me eat it as a kid. I hated it. But I just had a bite. Liver and onions, I can't believe how good it felt. It went right to my brain. I felt, did you ever eat food, some foods, like you could feel it go right into your brain, like an ice cream, for example, when it gives you the shock in the head? That's a bad example. I'm trying to think of foods that when you eat, you can feel it in your brain almost immediately. See, it's not in your brain. It's the sense goes up. I took a bite of that liver. Suddenly it was the Petite Madeleine. Again, it's a reference that's obtuse. You need a literary background. Anyone listening know what I just said? I want to give away something. I want to test the audience. I just said my eating that liver and onions just now was my equivalent of the Petite Madeleines. Name the author and the reference that I just made of Petite Madeleines. You do, you get a free copy of Scorched Earth. Brought back my entire childhood. The whole thing, the happiness, the misery, the can't wait to become a get out of this house. Oh, did I want to get out of there so badly. I can still smell the radiators to this day. The camphor, the mothballs, the claustrophobia. Horrible. God rest their soul. I mean, they're, you know, I thank them for giving me life. I mean, my mother gave me life. Without her, what would I have? And if I didn't have my father hectoring me, God knows what I could have been. Could have been a happy human being. I mean, the truth is, I don't know, you think about child rearing. Do you really have to pick on a son to make him into something? Can't the son be left alone to be what he is? No. You have to form your son. That's the European way. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Spare the verbal abuse, spoil the child. I never did that to my kids. I tried not to. I may have failed a number of times, but by and large, I said I would never do that. They turned out great. And I can't say they like me, but see, that's the problem. No matter what you do, your children are not going to get, there's no guarantee they're going to like you. So stop trying to be liked. Just be okay with them and love them and do the best you can because they may not like you anyway. Hard, soft, it doesn't matter. The generations generally want to avoid you the most that they can. They're not going to sit around happily, you know, with dad around. Oh, you don't want the old guy around. So, how do I put this in a nice way? Oh, yeah, I'm just thinking out loud a little bit today because the news is so, on one hand, boring and horrible that I thought I would provoke your rage by asking you who you hate the most in the media and why. So let's go back to that. Who's the best one? Who has the most rage? Who hates more than anyone on this caller? KBOI. Dan, go ahead, please. What's your answer?
Dr. Savage, congratulations on your contract.
Thank you.
We need you out here. Samuel L. Jackson.
Isn't that funny? I liked him until he showed his racism about a year ago.
That's what I'm calling about. He looks into the camera and he goes, "What's in your wallet?" I put my hand on my pocket and I get a cold chill. I've heard him.
I remember that he was an actor who I liked his acting enormously, and then I was shocked to find out he hated white people. About a year ago, he came out with the most shockingly racist statement I could ever imagine, was just under the surface.
Probably the same one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, what did he say? Does anyone remember what Samuel L. Jackson said?
He just can't stand the sight of a white person.
They said something like that, right? I said, him too?
Yeah.
A too, Sammy? You also hate white people, the people who throw their money at you? You hate the people who made you what you are? Why don't you just run your movies in black neighborhoods and see how much money you would have? That's what I felt. Why do people go to the movies of people who hate them? I don't understand it.
Anymore.
All right, well, thank you for that. Dan, thank you very much. I got a migraine just even going there. I don't want to go down this road, but I'll take a few hundred more calls on this subject because I think it really is provoking a raw feeling in the people. Now, we have a winner on the question of me saying me eating the liver and onions during the break. By the way, I almost gagged on it. I am sorry to tell you. That's a sad thing. The guys thought that they'd have to call an ambulance and get a fill-in host or run a best of. I was so hungry. I took a first bite. It was so good. I ate too fast. The dog even jumped up. He wanted to dial 911. So I'm going to eat more slowly. By the way, I'm putting it up on Facebook, the picture of the liver. Not that I gagged up on, but as it arrived in the box, I want you to see it. I'm putting it up on my Facebook page. Now, the beautiful part about this is, once this show in January is not only available to you on the radio, you can get it on the stream with a video feed, only through the video feed. I won't have to put it up on Facebook anymore. In fact, I'll probably drop Facebook in January. And I can do it for you like live on the stream. You could see what I'm eating. Isn't that wonderful? No, come on. I'm not going to make a fool of myself. I'm going to show you certain things for health reasons. Have a discussion of them, you know, after the show, maybe on diet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a lot of fun. We have a winner on line number 8 from WABC. John, what's the give us the name. When I said the liver was my petite Madeleine, what was that reference to?
Remembrance of Things Past by Marcel Proust.
Thank God there's someone out there who reads. I could tell that you're over the age of 50 for sure.
Yes, sir.
Do they still teach literature in universities other than Marie Has Two Mommies? America. Wait, here's the canon of books today taught at Trenton State. America the Racist. Mary Has Two Mommies. Bobby Has Two Daddies. Republicans are all racists. Democrats are all good. This is the new canon. They kind of, wait, a man causes global warming. All animals are sacred. All men are no good. Men should be herded off the planet. This is what the girl comes out of college with in her head. Where did you go to college that you know Marcel Proust?
A little liberal arts school in Wisconsin, sir.
Yeah, well, I remember reading about it. And so please tell the audience what that reference means. When I say eating the liver was my petite Madeleine's, what was my implication?
Proust started a very long novel with a reference to how he ate something and that the taste and the smell of it evoked a tremendous memory that carried through the entire novel.
In other words, he ate these little cakes, the Petite Madeleines, and that memory triggered in his brain, has started his whole childhood memory all the way up to the present. Again, stream of consciousness, one of my formats that I love so much. Well, when I ate the liver, it set off a whole wave, mainly of hunger. I'm dying for a break so I can take another bite. I am sending you a copy of Scorched Earth when it comes out after Labor Day, so stay on the line. Now let's go to who do you despise or hate the most. Did we have one? Oh, we had one already. Samuel Jackson, he's up there. So we need more voodoo dolls to remember. And please, don't make it a racial thing, whatever you do. Come on. There are people who are despicable in Hollywood and the media that you got to think about. Who are they? There's a white woman they don't like. Chuck on WABC, who don't you like the most in the media, or specifically, who do you despise the most?
It's got to be Mika Brzezinski, Dr. Savage. She is.
Now, wait, do you hate Mika Brzezinski because of a father or because of her?
I say yes and yes, but the main reason is that she's a Bernie Sanders supporter when he's running against Hillary. As soon as Hillary's running against Trump, Trump is automatically wrong and Hillary's automatically right.
Well, look, the old saying doesn't fall far from the cart. Her father is one of the most devilish men on the planet. Brzezinski was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. He is the most hateful politician I've ever seen in my life. He is central casting for an SA officer, as far as I am concerned. And the man is pure evil, as far as I am concerned, meaning in my opinion. This man was the architect of, the best I can put it together, if I'm wrong, let someone correct me, George Soros funded the Arab Spring. As far as I can tell, it was a big new Brzezinski who was the architect of that disaster, and Hillary Clinton was the builder of it. And the daughter is now on MSNBC for years, spewing the same twisted lies, the same propaganda. Thank you, Chuck. You get a copy of Teddy and Me. I'll be right back. I think that's a great topic, like who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who do you hate in Hollywood? What movies have they made or acted that provokes crime, murder, drug use, or anti-Americanism? And when it's not a racial thing, yes, Samuel L. Jackson Jr. said things that are despicable, and we'll play them for you. But we played the Brzezinski when Brzezinski was picked on, right? And she's a white woman. In fact, she's so white it looks like she doesn't even have bodily functions. She's so pure in her whiteness. She has pure whiteness, and yet she's despicable. So it's not a racial thing. Samuel L. Jackson Jr. said when that... I want you to play it so they hear it. They won't believe this. This is why we have him on the list.
When that thing happened in France, we're sitting there going, oh, my God, these terrorists are out of line. All of a sudden, I can't even tell you how much that day the thing was happening in San Bernardino. I was in Hawaii. How much I really wanted that to just be another, you know, crazy white dude and not really some Muslims, you know, because it's like, oh, shit. It's here, and it's here in another kind of way. Now, okay, it happened on an army base, and it happened somewhere else, but now, it's like, you have a legitimate reason now to look at your Muslim neighbor, friend, whatever, in another way now. And they become the new young black men.
There's nothing you can add to a statement like that. He hoped it was a white guy who killed those people in San Bernardino. You hear this? And you go to his movies? Well, okay, that's why I was saying, you know, people do remember these things. They remember these things, you know. And it does relate to the election. It directly relates to Hillary and to Trump. People remember everything everybody says. And the reason this country is in such trouble, I believe, is the media. I believe the media is responsible for the meltdown of America and for the elevation of the lowest level of humans into the highest places in politics, and the degradation of the best people in America to the lowest levels of America. That's what the media has done. How do twisted people wind up with such power positions is pretty clear to me. And it goes to the fact that somebody up there must likely like me because I got where I am on my own. I don't have friends in higher places. I never did. I've been struggling from the day I was born. For you, the audience.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
This is Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
We all live in a yellow submarine, yellow submarine, yellow submarine.
The Savage Nation. We are bashing Hollywood in the media today and having lunch together on the Savage Nation. If you're on the West Coast, it's lunchtime, of course. Unfortunately, for those of you on the East Coast, it's really not dinner time at 3 o'clock to 5, but I just did have liver and onions, which was my Proustian experience for the day, because I need to pump my adrenals with liver. I know it's like crazy, yeah, right? No, I just want, I felt I needed the iron and the other nutrients, the vitamin A, that source of vitamin A. I mean, get them all in pills. It's not quite the same thing. So in this hour, we'll continue to talk about who you despise the most in the media and why. Who do you hate in Hollywood the most and why? What movies have they made or acted in that provoke crime, murder, drug abuse, anti-Americanism? Answer all. And here's a news story. Crisis. U.S. Air Force expects to be 700 fighter pilots short in just a couple of years. No kidding. Why are pilots leaving the Air Force, do you think? Well, let's start at the bottom of the story. A news conference included Obama's Air Force Secretary, Deborah Lee James, who has never flown a jet, let alone flown in combat. She's a glorified air traffic controller. And they wonder why pilots are leaving the Air Force in droves, because they don't want to answer to morons and idiots who can't fly a plane. This is how Obama has destroyed the military. And I tell this whole story, yes, I do, in great detail, in Scorched Earth, a book you must have for your library. And I'm asking you to look it up on Amazon right now and get it going, because if we don't get it up on the list by the time it comes out, we're in trouble. The whole book is about electing Trump, by the way, in some way. It's all about the dangers of Hillary. And the only one who could save us is Trump. As crazy as that sounds, that's the truth. You know, Hillary's going to save us from this? In other words, what Obama started to do in so many spheres, including the military, Hillary will finish off. Why would you take a woman who can't fly a jet and make her the Secretary of the Air Force unless you're Barack Obama? Why would you do that? What do you think he did it for? To make it a better Air Force? To create morale in the Air Force, or destroy the morale in the Air Force? It's unbelievable to me. And that's one of the other topics that I think are worth that's worth discussing, incidentally. Now let's go to the callers on all these topics, from liver to the despicable media, movies, diet, right? And why? Jack on WFTL Radio in Fort Lauderdale, line four. What's on your mind, Jack?
Dr. Savage, you're exactly right about liver and onions. This is the wisdom of our forefathers carried down in the culinary traditions of our mothers and grandmothers. I'm of Sicilian extraction. I'm a first-generation American. My people come from Sicily. And I'll tell you, we have something called a wasted. A wasted. What it is the sliced spleen of the ox with a dollop of ricotta cheese, and then Parmigiano on top of that, or Caciocavallo, and you put it...
I love the Italian, but the fact is the spleen is the most least understood organ in the human body. People say, well, you could live without a spleen, but that's not the ultimate situation for human beings. Sure, you could live without one kidney, too, but it's better to have two kidneys. The spleen is a very important organ. But talking about the spleen, what do you feel like after you eat the spleen dish?
Immediate B12 boost. Dr. Savage, I'm telling you, if you're feeling run down, anemic, you eat a wasted. It's better than having three triple espressos. You're now flying. You're a titan. You become an instant.
Just from a spleen implant. Okay. No, I got, you want to hear something funny? I ate a liver, but it's from a local old-style Italian restaurant. They're not the modern Bay Area where they give you a little minimal this and that. You can, where there's no food there. This guy sent me a piece of liver. It must have been a pound. I had fried liver and onion, broiled liver and onions. You would think I'd fall asleep, wouldn't you? I'm full of energy now. I was just exhausted and hungry.
It works, Dr. Seth.
It works. It's, people don't understand this. Like, certain foods do work. They can make you tired. They can lift you up. So where do you get a dish like what you just mentioned? What is it called?
It's called the Wasted.
And you afraid if I go into the wrong restaurant in San Francisco and say, give me a Wasted, something bad could happen to me.
Tony Salerno never ordered one. I watched the series. He never ordered one.
It's what? Wasted? W-A-S-T-E-D? Wasted? No. Come on. How do you say it? Say it again loud.
It's a Wasted. And it's an Arabic corruption of the Italian, because, you know, Sicily was occupied by the Muslims for 200 years.
I know very well. I almost got beaten very badly. I met a Sicilian guy. He was a very nice guy, about 6'5". You know, there's a lot of very tall Sicilian men. They don't know it comes. Well, I'll tell you what I said to him. I'm not a tall guy. So we were chatting. I remember we were in the Catskill Mountains. I don't know how we met, for what. Tall, good-looking guy. Very, very, very big. And I said to him, you know, Anthony, the reason you're so tall, he looked at me, I said, is because your island was occupied by many different groups, including the Arabs, and you inherited Arabic, you know, genes. His eyes turned black. I think he wanted to strangle me. I said, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that is the history of Sicily. It's well known.
Yeah, we're proud of our cultural diversity only because we have a unique culture. In other words, we don't bicker and squabble over who came from where or what. We celebrate the fact that we really are a stew.
But the problem now, Jack, is that this is not cultural diversity, what's happening to Sicily and Europe right now. It is an invasion of Syrian Muslims and Africans that will never, ever, ever, that will forever alter your island nation in a way that you can never imagine.
I'll show you how things have changed, Dr. Savage. 3 years after the victory at Lepanto by Christian Europe over the largest armada the world would see until 1944, 3 years later, on the shores of where my people come from, that little town, Pozzallo, in the province of Ragusa, down the road from Syracuse, the fishermen and Spanish cavalry defeated another Turkish Muslim armada of over 280 ships and 100,000 men.
So why can't this Muslim invasion of America, Europe, and Sicily be stopped now? Why is this Muslim invasion any different? The answer is quite simple. And I have all the answers, because, you see, this is how tricky they've gotten. In cahoots with the progressive vermin who are doing this to Sicily and Europe, they put it under the guise of humanitarianism as opposed to invasion. And as a result, people's guards are knocked down. If they were attacking your country with weapons, the men would have to stand up and fight them off, wouldn't they? But because they're being invaded like with a Trojan horse of liberalism, the nations are being overrun. They will never recover from this.
You're exactly right. The Danish commentator, who by coincidence is a woman, and her name is Ibn Franholm. Ibn Franholm has a whole host of video clips on YouTube that explain how the feminization of Europe has opened the door to our inability to stand up and defend ourselves. The feminization of Europe, and it reaches right down into the little town where my people come from. So they're actually being swamped by people coming from West Africa and from Syria, Libya, and also from other countries that have absolutely nothing to do with the Syrian refugee crisis. And the Sicilians are good-hearted people. They collect the dead bodies off the beach at, at Ragazzino Beach. They pick up the dead bodies and they give them funerals. They invite an imam. They make sure they have a proper burial. Some of them actually take them in and they try and do what they can. But the fact is that that little town where my people have lived for hundreds of years, is now being swamped to the point where people have to think twice about going to the beach to swim. They may be
Jack, I have an article that's funny that came out today. Milan, Italy, overrun by invasion of thousands of immigrants. Now that other countries have closed off their pathways, borders now closed off in France, Austria, and Switzerland. They used to come through Italy and move right through Italy. Now they're staying in Italy, and they have so overrun the beautiful city of Milan that it's become a cesspool that the people in Milan don't know what to do with. 50% of all migrants entering Italy applying for asylum in the country. In the past, it was 3.3% would want to stay in Italy. Now it's 50% of all migrants are applying for asylum in the country. And you see refugee tent camps at key border points, such as Ventimiglia on the French border, Chiasso on the Swiss border, the Brenner Pass connecting Italy with Austria. Thousands and thousands of migrants converging on Milan. The local citizens are up in arms. And they say Milan is now on the verge of collapse because there are no social services. They said they are not refugees. They are illegal immigrants who must be sent home. That's Lombardi's president, Roberto Maroni. But wait, are you ready for this? Some of them want them there. A vocal supporter of them is a man named Beppe Sala, who has proposed building more structures to accommodate more and more waves of immigrants. Why would he want to do that? Tell me why a guy like Milan's mayor, Beppe Sala, would want to do that.
Follow the money. There's lots of money to be made by that. And of course,
all right, so it's the same answer in America. Catholic charities, Lutheran family services, Jewish family services, they care less about the country than you could imagine. It's all about raking in the money that's being thrown at them by the federal government under that demon in the White House, Barack Obama, who wants the country fundamentally transformed into a Muslim nation. He wants it looking like Indonesia rather than like America.
That's exactly what's going on.
I mean, that's what he had in mind. The man is demonic in his desire to alter the landscape of this country in a way that no one will ever believe happened. And the you know who the biggest losers are going to be? The African-American community. They are going to be the biggest losers of Obama's policies.
Agreed.
Jack, this is a wonderful call. It just shows you where a little topic like eating liver and onions can lead you, because all things revolve around food. Especially in countries, or shall I say cultures, that have cultures. In fact, when I was studying the field of nutrition, I was very interested in ethnic nutrition, even back in my doctoral days when no one was studying it. I was reading and writing on ethnic nutrition, and I remember learning that a sentence like this: entire cultures are transmitted through cuisine. This is how children were taught about their culture at a dinner table. They'd sit down and eat dishes, and just like you taught us about this dish of the spleen, children would be taught that. They'd be taught history of the food, where it came from, and it would lead to discussions about various issues, such as you mentioned, invasion, repelling of invasion, all related to food and all around the dinner table. That's all gone now, isn't it, Jack?
Well, you know, I'm afraid it is. We have to struggle to try and continue the traditions, customs, and manners that define our culture and identity. And that's where the United States is falling down. We're being sold a bill of goods that we have no national identity, and that's bunk. What's happening
is... That's right. The progressive haters of America have sold us the false notion that multiculturalism is a good thing, when in fact... That was a good thing when the immigrants came here like your ancestors did and joined the melting pot and added to the stew and wanted ultimately to become Americans, as so many millions of Sicilians did. And now it's become the reverse. We are being overrun by invaders, not immigrants. They refuse to learn the language. They hate the culture. They spit on the American flag. They don't know what the Bill of Rights means, and they could care less. This is not immigration. It's invasion. I thank you for the call. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. It is very unusual when you think about it. I started, you know, joking around. I mean, I was eating liver and onions, which I never do. I've been on this low-fat diet for my whole life. I'm always hungry. Eating too much fish, which I don't enjoy anymore. And most of the fish that I'm getting, I don't know, I'm sorry, it's polluted. I'm going back to the meat and potato. But every day, so just joking around, a caller calls and talks about a Sicilian dish of the spleen. And it leads to discussions of culture, Sicily, its culture, invasion, occupation, what's going on in the world right now. It's fascinating to me how good conversation can evolve from a very basic subject such as what you're eating for lunch. That's what conversation means. Converse, with verse. Think about it. What we don't have, you know, see, in America, we don't have conversation anymore. We have email. Email is not conversation. It's brutal. It's devoid of culture. Email has stripped our culture bare. Do you know that? Oh, I use it. I'm on it all day long. I send hundreds every day. But is that really conversation? We're not using verse. We're using a form of shorthand. And we often make mistakes with our emails because there's no humanity in it. It's like a machine talking to a machine. Email was originally developed by the Department of Defense. Do you know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. And then it was picked up and, you know, capitalized upon by entrepreneurs who made fortunes on the taxpayer's dollar, as is often done. They got the rights to email. But there was a DOD method of communicating rapidly that, as far as I remember, that explains the evolution of the email. It was internal. So anyway, the point is that conversation means with verse. And there's an art to conversation, which is to use verse. And the object of conversation, by the way, is to keep the conversation going. And that, my friends, is the essence of talk radio. It's conversation. I mean, it can be a diatribe. It can be just beating the audience up day and night. Bang, 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 bang. Putting people down. Bang, 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 bang. There's all forms of talk radio. To me, the highest form is conversation, which is the most difficult to attain. And that conversation I just had with Jack from Florida was conversational in its best sense, wouldn't you say? Yes, indeedy, that's what it is. So if you want to join the conversation, well, there's one open line at 855-407-2822. This is the Savage Nation, where conversation reigns from your raconteur-in-chief, yours truly, Michael. And let me tell you something. I'm looking forward to your calls.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
What did he eat is what I want to know. What was his diet? I'd love to know what opera singers eat. Oh, my God. How can a human being have such a gift? How beautiful. I wish I knew if he ate Vastetta or if he went to Israel and had them import some Batesim for him. I'll never forget when I went to Israel 20 years ago for the first time. I went once or twice in the late 70s. That was it. I remember staying out very late in the streets of Tel Aviv and asking where I could find a dish of Batesim, which were bulls, you know what. Well, I finally found a restaurant run by Sephardic Jews from Yemen who served it. Nothing, no big deal. I got nothing out of it. I mean, just like dried meat is what it came down to. All I thought about was the poor bull. You know, I didn't run around looking for it. Vastetta is a Sicilian recipe of humble ingredients, bread, organ, and cheese. Used to prepare the pane che muoce, such sandwich of veal spleen, all using the toppings of cavallo and ricotta. It is most common in the city of Palermo. A fried version called, after the meal, is calling Vastetta Fritta. Recognized by the Italian Ministry of Agricultural, Food, and Forestry as a traditional product. Official list of traditional Italian. I bet you can't find that in a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant, see if you can ever get Vastetta Fritta. Impossible. Maybe in New York, Little Italy, right? And they may not even serve it to you unless you're a regular. I don't think they would have a lot of calls for that. Most people come and order the traditional things that they, you know, they come for, this and that. All right, let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. WABC, John, you have a comment to make on which subject?
Thank you, Professor Johnson here, MIC. I teach a course on the sociology of violence. Violence in this country...
John, I'd love to hear what you just said. I didn't hear it. You're on a speakerphone, I think.
No, I'm not. I'm on my cell phone. I'm driving 60 miles an hour, but I got important things to say.
Go. We can hear you now.
It's DNA. It's in our DNA, and it's progressively have gotten worse since the last 40 years. The concept of carpet bombing is now
instilled in us with robots. I mean, who said violence in America is apple pie? It starts with the children. Screen violence, anything related to screen, cartoons and everything, it's all violence. Everything is violence. It's not an anomaly to us. We're accustomed to it. We're living it. We're growing up with it and everything. Guns, killing and everything. It's not stopping. It's not going to stop. These cops out there, God bless their souls, they are so stressed out. Most people are on meds. Most people suffering from anxiety. The suicide rate is up 75%. They don't publish this, but it's the children I'm worried about. They're watching the TV, watching...
John, I'm a little worried about you right now. Where are you driving 60 miles an hour? What highway are you on?
I'm in the Bronx trying to get to Fordham. I am giving...
you're not on the Cross Bronx Expressway doing 60 miles an hour ranting about violence, are you?
I never said the Cross Bronx. You go to the Cross Bronx Expressway when you want to die. I don't want to die, okay? I'm on Fordham.
No, you sound so wound up on this issue of who we despise the most in the media. Is that what you're responding to?
The media, it's all, we're talking about the cops. It isn't the cops, it's everyone in this country. I mean, look what we're doing. We're killing each other. And they came out with a study 2 weeks ago about the detrimental effects of screen violence with children. It's 100 times worse than they thought because they've done studies.
But John, look, let's be realistic and not get hysterical. Come on, I'm not putting you down. I'm trying to have a conversation. When I was a little boy, I would dress up in a cowboy suit, and I had cap guns. I always wanted to be Roy Rogers or Gene Autry. Someone would answer the door at 829 Longfellow Avenue. My mother would open the door, and I'd shoot them with my cap guns. I never wound up killing anybody.
Yes, you did. You're killing your listeners with this.
I see where you're coming from. Now you're going there now. Now I'm the bad guy now.
Harold, look at that. You wanted a $1 million raise. I mean, who does he think he is?
Sir. Who wants a $1 million raise?
I'm already there, and they stole him to take.
Who wants a $1 million raise? I never heard of him. I don't know who you're talking about. The one they threw out of radio?
He's on. They dumped him from television. He's on the radio. He's on there with the other bottom feeder. I just know him. That old guy.
Now you're attacking. Actually saying.
Am I right?
Okay. I don't know what you just said. What are you right about? I don't know. What are you saying? What are you actually saying?
It's all about ratings. It doesn't matter how many people are dying. It makes a good copy. We've reported. We take pictures. And they always say the same thing.
John, can I ask you something? Are you as pure as the driven snow? What did you do or what do you do for a living?
What do you mean answers? There's no rhyme or reason to this.
John, what do you do for a living, John? It's a simple question.
I'm a professor of sociology at MIT.
Okay, are you really such? Are you genuinely a professor of soci?
Why do you doubt me?
Well, because you're screaming and yelling. I can't understand how anyone could sit in your classroom without getting frightened.
Things are going in this country.
There's so much violence in what you just said, and you're railing against violence.
Violence is all over. It's everywhere you look. It's what.
So what is the answer to the problem?
First of all, you have to apologize to your listeners.
Oh, I see. So it's all me. I'm the one causing the violence, not Barack Obama. Barack Obama, who kills people with drones, is not causing violence?
Look, you made a mistake. Come on.
Excuse me. You mean people who actually kill people are not on your radar, but those of us who talk the truth are on your radar? No wonder you're a professor of sociology at MIT instead of a real subject.
5 million people we killed in Vietnam with carpet bombing. What do you say about that?
Well, now we're back to Vietnam. I guess you're one of those out there protesting and spitting on the troops when they came home?
Listen.
No, you listen. What you've said so far makes no sense. What are you actually saying? America's no good?
I'm saying we need to eat more vegetables.
No, you really are crazy. John, you really are a psycho. I mean, you're really a sick person. In my analysis, my radio analysis is you should stop the car and call 911. Are you somewhere near Roosevelt Hospital? I mean, the NYPD has crisis units that could probably help you right now. You're in really bad shape. Did you raise children, John? John. John, are you still there? Please stay with me, John. Don't leave us. John, did you raise children? John, John, please don't take your own life. John, please. Okay, the typical liberal professor. Typical progressive professor of sociology. Big on the put out. Can't take any criticism whatsoever. Cannot debate. Bamboozles the poor kids who sit there for the grade. And just rails on and on. He was everywhere all over the map. I should apologize. I think he wanted me to apologize for the Vietnam War. Personally, take responsibility. And jealous? Jealous that I have a radio show and he doesn't. That's the problem with these people. Kern, K-E-R-N Radio, in Southern California near the Grapevine. Bill on line one. Bill, who do you despise the most in the media and why?
Well, Dr. Savage, I think it comes down to a three-way tie in one particular category for the grand prize of despicable excellence in stereotyping Jews and reducing their entire identity to a pile of quips and cliches. Three-way tie of Jerry Seinfeld, Larry David, and Woody Allen.
Wow, you hit the quinella tonight. You get the prize. Three of the worst people on the planet. They've done more to degrade the Jewish male than any one I have ever seen. The three of them together have made the Jewish male into a laughing stock, and they've made a lot of money at it, too.
Oh, and with such slickness and grace. And,
I've talked about this before, and there are still blacks who do this, degrading the black male, but in the 40s it was at a peak with a black actor who made a fortune doing the same thing, playing into the stereotype. His name was Stephen Fetchett. I'm sure you're aware of him, correct?
Sure, pre Amos and Andy.
Right. Stephen Fetchett was a black performer who played into the stereotype that white people wanted to think of as black males. So he did everything that was almost obscene, like, yeah, man, I was coming, that kind of stuff. Well, the white audiences ate it up. But, of course, it degraded the black male in the eyes of not only the black community, but all communities. So someone saw a black male, they thought he was Stephen Fetchett. It's the same with Woody Allen. It's the same with the others you mentioned, Jerry Seinfeld, who made billions of dollars portraying a weak schnook, a neurotic schnook, a weakling type. Woody Allen makes him into a neurotic schmendrick. Larry David is another variety of a hater, again, stereotyping the Jewish male, running the Jewish male off the road. And never do you see any image of a Jewish male of that of the warrior, for example. Any image of the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, doing their job of defending their nation is castigated, or rather they are castigated for doing so. Any Jewish male who is seen as a warrior of any kind is either never seen in the media, or if they are seen, they're made into the devil themselves. Wouldn't you agree with that analysis?
Well, yes, and now with this latest movie of Allen's, I guess he's reinforcing the Hollywood mogul, that end of the stereotyping, too. Now they're
again, he's extremely talented, and like all serpents, they're very, very attractive, you know. They say that the serpent entered the Garden of Eden, and a guy like Woody Allen is a classic example of a human serpent. He has such talent that you are drawn into his Garden of Eden, the imaginary world that he creates in his movie. And then by the time you come out of it, you see things that are not real, and you have images that are completely faulty of individuals and of entire peoples. That's what you're saying, I believe.
Yeah, the beautiful cinematography, production values. I mean, it's just you think, you know, what a waste of all this energy.
Can you imagine if people with this level of talent were actually devoted to America and to saving us from these 7th century barbarians that their favorite serpent, Barack Obama, is bringing into this country? You know, I think about this every day. I could see Obama saying, I want to bring Muslims into America. If he was bringing in educated Muslims who practice their religion in a modernistic sense and wanted to join the melting pot, nobody would have a problem with it. But why is he bringing in masses of single males from Syria, for example? What is his intention? It is not good. There is no good that can come from this. And think, if we had people in the film business, as we had during World War II, who used their power and their genius to portray the Nazi barbarians for what they were, and to portray the vicious imperialistic Japanese for what they were and what they were doing, and enable us better to fight them. Think of what we could do today if we had a movie industry that was behind us and fighting the true barbarians of our time. Just think about what this nation would be like.
Yes. It's ironic.
I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because this is a big topic to me. There's a whole chapter called Zero Media, but it's really not zero media. It's less than zero. It's on the negative side. But without propaganda, we're not going to win any war against them. And when you have a president who won't even say Islam, ick, terrorism, in the same sentence, will not go to a memorial in honor of people killed by Islamists, I mean, we are really in the stage of either we... Look, I'm sorry, it comes down to Trump versus Clinton. To me, it's that simple. As buffoonish, as bombastic, as narcissistic, etc., it doesn't matter to me. He's the only hope we've had, which is why I backed him from the get-go, which is why this show was the first show you probably heard Donald Trump on in the political sense. Yeah, I'll remind you, while others were bashing him and putting him down and making him into what he wasn't, trying to elect Hillary Clinton, I had him on the show and I was performing the best I could to help elevate him. Why? I don't know him personally. I hope for nothing from his presidency. I just signed a new contract here in radio. This is what I'm going to be doing. I'm not looking for a job in government. I don't want to move down the social scale. That's not what I want. I want what I'm doing. So I'm not looking for anything. I'm not finagling for a job in the government. He's the only one who just might turn the country around. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, flying high on liver and onions. You want to hear how funny things are? Thank you. I posted a picture of my lunch on my Facebook page an hour ago, and 10,000 people have gone on with really funny comments. Really, I can't read them to you, but you can read them. Very, very funny. Yeah, ranging from very nice comments to kind of crazy comments about my liver and onion lunch. Someone wrote, tomorrow's show is already written. Michael got sick from the rotten takeout liver, and he's never going to eat takeout liver and onions again. It's so wacky. That's not a bad idea. I hope it doesn't happen. One guy says, I grew up in Brooklyn and had liver and onion once a week. I wish I could drop dead on liver day. I hated it. Another one says, I live in New Mexico. I love liver and onions. Gene Colby. I saved some for a couple of hungry roving dogs outside the hotel. The dogs never showed up for the liver. That's funny. So that's it. We started with liver. We started with liver and we wound up with culture. Isn't that funny? No, it's not funny because food carries entire cultures. That's the whole reason. And this goes back to the whole immigration thing. You take a culture like the Italian culture, which is so diverse. When you say Italian, what do you mean? Northern Italian, Southern Italian, Calabrese, Siciliano, what do you mean? Well, there's all different cultures within the culture. But each of these cultures within a culture have given this country so much. A cuisine, a sense of humor. Now I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are these Sicilian immigrants that Obama is flooding America with going to bring a culture to us? And if so, what part of their culture will they bring? Will they bring a cuisine, or will they bring us the violence and hatred that they fled from? Moreover, why are they not staying in their own country to rebuild it? That's the question of questions, Mr. Obama. Why are you bringing them here? Why don't you build camps for them there and let them rebuild their own country?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
With her remarkable talent, welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation. I can't summarize what we've done for 2 hours. It'd be impossible. I could if I was forced to, but we had a caller in the last hour, a guy who said he was a sociology professor at MIT. Who knows what he really was? And he was confusing because he was all over the map. So someone writes me on my Facebook, he says, Michael, that call with John was very entertaining. I laughed heartily at your questions and responses. He says, yes, John is a nutcase, but crazy like a fox. He tried to hit you over the head by coming in the back door. He was probably high on dope and psychotropics. He's a classic Democrat. Very, very gleeful because they know now with Barry and Hillary, we will be victimized because of their love of evil. Years ago, he said, we could push people like that into a corner. But now there are so many of them. They are able to elect people who enact policies that the sane, educated, and morally upright have to suffer under, too. And so forth and so on. Then there's comments on the 10,000 comments on my liver and onion picture on Facebook within an hour. I don't know. People like it. They don't like it. They hate it. It's wonderful. In that sense, I understand it, why people like these posts. All I did was show a picture of a styrofoam box that someone brought me from an Italian restaurant. And people make such crazy comments about it. I was saying I was eating liver and onions. Once a year, I'll eat a food like this. I know it's a cholesterol bomb. I know that. But cholesterol is not the problem with regard to atherosclerosis. Those of you who understand science understand it's the saturated fats and whether or not they oxidize, it is not the cholesterol. This is one of the greatest myths of our time. And all of you who have been duped into thinking that taking anti-cholesterol pills are going to save you from a heart attack, you ought to read the literature because the literature does not support that medical position. It just doesn't. So I don't want to go into a health show. But I've been reading and writing about health since the late 60s. Does that make me knowledgeable? Yes, very knowledgeable. Does it guarantee me long life? No. Do I hope that the things I have done help me live longer and help the others who have read my books on health live longer? I sure hope so. That's why I wrote those books. And what I did in the world of health and nutrition, I'm trying to do in the world of politics for these last 22 years. I'm trying to make the nation healthier politically. And so I try to point out political beliefs that are harmful, political beliefs that are healthful. You see what I mean? There really is a parallel here, and in many ways I could develop it if I had the inclination to do so. But it really is the same exact thing. Like, what ideas are helpful for a nation? What ideas are harmful for a nation? You know, you go back to my show called The Savage Nation. How did that... I never even told you how it originated. I was on local KSFO, KGO, way back in the beginning. And there was a very bright young lady who was the program director. She's long gone. Very smart woman. And she said to me, well, what do you want to call the show? I said, I don't know. So she said, well, what's your favorite book? I said, Plato's Republic. So we started playing with words. She said, why don't you call it The Savage Republic? I said, no, not good. And we got to The Savage Nation. And at the time, I used to quote Plato's Republic very often. And what's interesting about Plato's Republic is that he tried to create a series of dialogues which discussed in those dialogues what a sane nation would do, a healthy nation would do. And where he ranked the artists and poets was very interesting in Plato's Republic. He called them the enemies of a society. It was very interesting. He called them the enemies of society because they lead the children astray. It was very interesting. You know, I understand that the Plato's Republic was, in many ways, a design for an autocratic, fascistic state. I get that. I understand that. I've read enough about it and enough of it to get all of that. But nevertheless, he did write some very interesting ideas about what an ideal society would look like. And some of those ideas are still worthy of thinking about and worthy of discussion, which leads me to the topic I raised today. By the way, who do you despise the most in the media and why? Who do you hate in Hollywood? What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug use, anti-Americanism? These questions, in many ways, are directly related to Plato's Republic in that sense, now that I think about it. Now that the liver and onions have circulated slightly in my blood and I can think more clearly. See, there's a wisdom in what I do. It all connects. It's a matter of being able to think it through. Now, in order to have you laugh in this hour, I would be remiss if I didn't play Nancy Pelosi. Fortunately, she's come back out of the gopher hole to be heard from again. And she's given us more fodder for our amusement as she does now attacking Trump over the Second Amendment comment in clip number 5. Please listen.
The comment that was made by the Republican nominee about the Second Amendment, it was clear that he didn't understand that the words of a presidential candidate, a nominee, weigh a ton. To choose the Second Amendment in the manner in which he did, perhaps unwittingly, but the double meaning that it had, wittingly or not, is very, very problematic. Very problematic and scary. We don't know whether he intended it or not, but even if he didn't, words weigh a ton.
That's smart. You know, that really is smart. That's Nobel Prize level. Words weigh a ton. Now we go on to the next piece of wisdom from Mrs. Pelosi in clip 6. This is a wonderful one. Listen to this one in clip 06.
This is an electronic Watergate. This is a break-in. This is a break-in. And I think that we have to recognize what is happening here. Now, who... The Russians broke in. Who did they give the information to? I don't know. Who dumped it? I don't know. But I do know that this is a Watergate-like electronic break-in. And anyone who would exploit for the purpose of embarrassment or something like that is an accomplice.
Okay, so somebody whispered to her electronic Watergate and she ran with it. She thought it was brilliant. And what she doesn't understand here is that we're way past the Russians did it. Most of us who follow the news know the Russians had nothing to do with it. We also know there's a dead body in a morgue somewhere, if not buried, who was on the way to talk about who leaked it. And that's something that's really worthy talking about, worthy of discussion, not whether the Russians did it. Now, since we're in hour number 3 again, I want to take the calls at 855-407-282. The day wouldn't be complete unless we played a Hollywood idiot. I used to do a special segment entitled The Hollywood Idiot of the Day, but unfortunately for us, the Hollywood idiots have disappeared from political commentary by and large. They've learned their lesson, except for one, and that's Rob Reiner. Here is an idiot who continues to give us his wisdom on a daily basis. He appeared once again popping up from, I think there were heavy rains in Beverly Hills recently. And he says this in clip 17.
The volume of idiocy that comes out of this guy's mouth is you can't even wrap your mind around it. I mean, first he starts by saying, let's have a foreign country spy on this country. Then he demeans a Gold Star family. Now he's recommending assassination as a remedy for a political redress. It's crazy. And the fact that we're even having this conversation and that this man is running for president, we're living in some kind of a dream world, I think.
That's Meathead, Rob Reiner, a man who made his fortune making a mockery of the human race, a big mocker in Hollywood. So therefore, they had him on CNN. I don't know if Don Lemonhead had him on or not. Don Lemonhead, the man of the hour. You know, of all the characters on CNN, it's very interesting. When I had my last book out, I'm not allowed on any television show, as you well know. I'm too hot to handle. Fox is afraid of me. They're all afraid. But Don Lemon invited me on, and I wouldn't go because I knew he was a snake. It's not that I couldn't hold my own. What did I need it for? What, do you have an audience of 1,200? Of which 5 would buy my book? Why would I go there to embarrass myself? Who needs it to be on these shows? I don't understand it. So let's go back to the main topics of the people in Hollywood who have destroyed America. Okay? And the other topics I raised. Now, here's a great one. I never expected this. This I would never expect the call I'm about to take. Right, it's like from the Twilight Zone what I'm about to take up on the air. Alex on KSFO, listening online. I suppose, Alex, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I heard the caller who was talking about Jerry Seinfeld, and it's true with the image that they've made the Jewish male into, but I'm a Southern Jew, and I'm in the Marine Corps, and I'm proud of America, and I've been raised conservative. My grandfather...
Now, you don't even sound Jewish. How's that possible?
Well, see, I'm joking.
Come on. Come on. Not everyone has to sound like they're from New York, you know, from New York to be Jewish. I get it. But if you were to speak, let's say, in Hollywood, they would figure you're their enemy because you don't sound like them.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's just the stereotype that people like Jerry Seinfeld and...
So growing up as a tough young Southerner who was Jewish, of Jewish heritage, who wound up in the Marine Corps because you wanted to be, what did you think of the image of the Jewish male as presented by Jerry Seinfeld? Did it offend you?
He said, "Wuss." It does offend me because my grandfather and my great-grandfather were both in the Army, too, and they were very brave and tough Jews, you know.
Like, well, what about a guy like Woody Allen? Did you ever watch his movies with revulsion?
Yeah, it makes me want to puke.
It's as simple as that. Well, you and I probably would get along very well, even though we speak differently, and not because of any Jewish commonality, it's because of our political commonality. I'm going to send you a copy of Ring That Bell, Robert. He's getting a copy of Scorched Earth when it comes out a week after Labor Day. Thank you so much, my Southern Jewish warrior friend. This is the Savage Nation, back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Look what fell into my lap. I'm talking about who you despise the most in the media. Who do you hate the most in Hollywood? And this comes up just now. Actor Will Smith says we need to cleanse Trump from America. Listen to this. Listen to this man speak. Of all places on earth, he's in Dubai promoting his horrible, violent film about a DC Comics villain. And here he is putting down Donald Trump, a man who spews, and Will Smith is spewing violence in his movie. And here he is attacking Donald Trump.
In terms of Islamophobia, In America, you know, for me, that's why it's important to show up. It's like I'm in Dubai and I'm having fun and I'm tweeting and I'm showing pictures. Hey, they doesn't look like they hate me, does it? You know, and as painful as it is to hear Donald Trump talk, and as embarrassing it is as an American to hear him talk, I think it's good. We get to hear it, we get to know who people are, and now we get to cleanse it out of our country.
Cleanse it out of our country. I wish we could cleanse you out of our country. Why don't you stay there in Dubai, Smith? You're pandering to Muslims now by putting down your home country that made you rich and famous. I wonder if you would have gotten as far as an African in Dubai, which you well know is one of the most racist nations on the planet. You think Arabs like blacks, Will? Do you know what they actually say about African Americans behind their back or Africans behind their back? This is shocking to show you the ignorance of these people in Hollywood, like Will Smith. And there he's peddling a movie all about violence with his violent villain. And now he's there, of course, pandering to them in Dubai, talking about Islamophobia and that Donald Trump represents Islamophobia. He doesn't. He represents America First, Will. That's a little different than Islamophobia. And by the way, a little Islamophobia is not a bad thing if you are the victim of Islam's hatred and murder, Will. It makes good sense. Like, for example, if you're one of those people who got maimed in Boston at the marathon, I would think a little Islamophobia would go a long way. Or let's say you were in, let's see if we can count the number of incidents conducted by the wonderful practitioners of the religion of peace. We all know they're not Muslims. We know that they're not Buddhists. We know they're not Hindus. We know they're not Christians. We know they're not Jews. But they're certainly not Muslims. Now, although they say they are, we shouldn't believe them. We should not believe those who say that they're Muslims and that they're killing in the name of Islam, because Will Smith knows more. Barbara Streisand knows more. Barack Obama knows more than they do. The murderers themselves are all, they're all suffering some kind of dementia. They don't even know what religion they're doing it in the name of, do they? No, the actors do, and the politicians do. So you see the picture that I'm painting for you. Now let's take some calls. Anthony on WABC, fire away. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it, and I love your show. I just want to
reason why I had a call is I wanted to, I'm tired of all the spinning that's dizzying that the left is throwing out, and the absence of reality and honesty by the media. And I'm a former federal agent that was on details such as Hillary's, and I can tell you right now that it really drives me nuts when the media ignores what happened the other day, that an individual such as the father of that person that killed those 45 people down in Florida would never be able to get there that close without the service of law enforcement and the campaign and her.
Exactly. So they vetted this guy and put him two rows behind her. What was the message she was sending by putting the Orlando murderer, the father, two rows behind her? What was she trying to say?
That's why I wanted to have the lay people in your audience know that this is incredible. It's insulting to the intelligence to omit and avoid speaking about it when this person that we know his philosophy and his beliefs is three rows away from the candidate. It's insane to think that...
Yeah, the man was a Taliban supporter. Why did... Okay, so who in the Secret Service let him sit there? Did she override them?
Yeah.
All right, so what message was she sending? Who was she... She couldn't be talking to Muslims who aren't terrorists. What was she trying to say there?
Dr. Savage, I think it's the voting, the votes, the numbers. That's what it's all about.
But why would she pick a Muslim like him whose son killed all those people? There's something more to the message. That's what's worrisome. It's almost like the Manchurian candidate appearing in the form of Hillary Clinton.
So you hit it right on the head. And may I say one more thing, if I can, real quick?
20 seconds.
I'm a legal alien that came here years ago, and I hit the biggest lottery in my lifetime, and I could never repay in 10 lifetimes what this country has afforded me. Because if I
feel exactly the same way, Anthony, as do all the children of immigrants, of whom I am one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Now, if you just tuned in, yesterday I did a whole show of self-indulgence. I'm signing a new multi-year radio deal. In case you missed yesterday's show, it's a big story to me. And I got some beautiful emails, and I want to read one Facebook comment, only one, on that topic. Then we're going to have some interesting... So I get this... comment on Facebook from Robert Rivera, who commented on WorldNet Daily, this. He says, Trump is beating up the media for what they are, but Savage has been on the front lines for decades and has led a magnificently ferocious and effective campaign against the media. I remember the first time I heard Michael back in the late 90s. He had my ear right away. He resonated with me in so many ways. His fiery tone and thick accent, I like that part. Thick accent. My Irish eyes are smiling, were as captivating as anything I had ever heard. His surly temperament and concise, eclectic intellect were and are unrivaled. He is as honest of a celebrity as you will ever find. He exposes himself as much as he does his enemies. He shares so much and asks for nothing in return. He is the ultimate entertainer. I have not agreed with him on some things from time to time, like about God. But I sure do love the guy and consider him a passing stranger that has become a long-awaited friend. You ever know people you can trust that you never are around or your schedules conflict with theirs? That is Michael Savage to me. I think the world of him, and he is as marvelous. He is a marvelous radio king that is always far ahead of the curve while posturing to throw you a knuckleball of his own. He is the trusted friend I will never meet. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for making me laugh and smile when no one else could. I mean that I'm truly happy for you and your wonderful family. That's a beautiful, beautiful comment. Now, on that note, the big story of the day to me, and the big story of the day to me, and by the way, you can answer the other questions I raised, like who do you hate in Hollywood? What movies have they made or acted in that provokes crime, murder, drug use, or anti-Americanism? Who would I put on my list? Tarantino? Taranto? I don't know how to pronounce his name. Tarantino? Tarantino? All vile garbage. One movie after another provoking murder and violence.
Put him on a tuxedo. March him along in Hollywood. Look at they hold up.
The lowest vermin on the planet they hold up. Or the other one. I'll tell you, I got a real thing. A real thing for Harvey Weinstein. You know why? It's not that he makes his living peddling filth and hate and pornography and and violence. No, no, no. That's standard fare. It's that he pretends he's against violence. He wants to make a movie against the Second Amendment for Barack Obama. Could you believe this? I don't know a movie Harvey Weinstein ever made that didn't have a gun in it on a board, on the picture board for the movie. I remember in the 80s, I used to walk past movie theaters when there were still movie theaters that you could walk past. And I was impressed with the fact that every starlet, every so-called starlet or star had a gun in their hand. Every one of them was shown with a pistol. You know, remember that stupid pose that they all had with their hips out, their arms crossed? That was a very popular pose at the time. And then people in radio started imitating it, and the news media. Every photographer made your pose with your arms crossed like you were a mean, tough guy. Well, every picture in the movie theaters had someone with a gun in their hand, and I said, this is no good. This is no good. This is going to provoke children to start killing people with guns. Was I wrong? Was I wrong? Was I wrong? It's not the Second Amendment that did it. It's the vermin. Excuse me. I don't want to use the word vermin because it's a loaded statement and it turns liberals off. It was used by a certain Austrian in World War II and resulted in many millions of deaths, so I won't use it. I would use the word Solenteret, which means worm. What I really want to do is the whole thing that Trump's doing now, where he said that ISIS was founded by Obama. Now, if you've listened to this radio program for any number of years, or you read any of my books, you'll find that I wrote that and said that in more ways than one for quite a while now. And I'm actually interested as to why Trump said that all of a sudden yesterday, because I said it the day before. Didn't I say it on Monday, almost the same exact thing? I know I did. We have the soundbite to prove it. It means that Donald's listening to me in the car on the way to and from various... I'm convinced of it, because he's a spontaneous guy, and I don't think he's reading scripts. I'm pretty sure that's why he's saying things that offend everybody. And I think he's picking it up here, picking it up there. And Donald, if you're listening, you're welcome on the show anytime. I know that your people are not telling you that, but... Mr. Trump, anytime you want, you're welcome in the Savage Nation. So let's go back to the beginning and go to yesterday's incredible, provocative statement in clip number one.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS, and I would say the co-founder would be Crooked Hillary Clinton. Co-founder, Crooked Hillary Clinton.
That's pretty good. You know something? He really has nothing to worry about, because if he loses the election, he can always become a talk show host. Think about how popular he'd be as a radio talk show host. So on page 62 of Government Zero, I say almost the exact same thing. Because it's probably true. How could it not be true? Page 62. Don't forget that Obama caused the rise of ISIS. He was warned by the military not to remove all American troops from Iraq, was he not? Was he not told to keep a force of 100,000 there to prevent this from happening? And what did he do? Page 63. He gave them the middle finger. He said, screw you. I know more than you. I am Obama the Great. I know everything. I know better than doctors about medical care. I know better than the military about the military. I know everything about climate. I'm an expert on everything. So he pulled all American troops out of Iraq and created a vacuum. Not to be outdone, here comes Cuckoo Clock Pelosi, which is worth listening to in clip four.
For him to turn around and say what he did about the president and the secretary is so bizarre. It's reminiscent of... demagogues who want to be in the press no matter what they have to say. They make their verbal poo-poo any place to get attention.
She has to be the most comical. What was she? What was her job? Wasn't she chief meatball roller for the Congress? Yeah, she was chief meatball roller for the Congress for a while, wasn't she? She taught everyone how to roll meatballs and make them tasty. I think she was, Nancy Pelosi. Using the word verbal poo-poo, this really tops all of the cuckoo clock things she's ever said. Nancy Pelosi making a bigger jerk of herself than ever she's done in her life. Verbal poo-poo. I never heard anything like verbal poo-poo. What is wrong with this woman? Why doesn't she just... Wait a minute. Why doesn't... Why can't Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, and Barbara Boxer just get off the public stage and give some younger, even younger progressives a chance? Anything would be better than these octogenarian maniacs. Don't they understand that it's an embarrassment to keep talking at a certain age? That at a certain point, they have to say to you, Grandma, it's time to stay home and teach us how to make meatballs. You're making a fool of yourself. Nope, no one would say it. The Queen has no clothes. So Donald Trump said Obama's the founder of ISIS. Pelosi said this. That one said that. And I asked you, who do you despise the most in the media and why? And boy, do I have calls. I can't wait to get to them. Who do you hate in Hollywood the most? And I'm using a strong word for a reason, because there are people in Hollywood I hate for their hypocrisy. I hate certain people. Like Leon DiCaprio is a great actor. I love his acting. But who does he think he's fooling with the global warming garbage, flying around with the girls, on the jets, to the yachts? God bless him, he's having fun. I don't know how much fun that could be after a while. You know, every day, Leon DiCaprio's latest girlfriend. Now he's one from Holland that looks like a truck driver, beer truck driver with a great woman's body. How does that work? Yeah, I see, you know, like I catch, like I read the Daily Mail, and I get distracted easily on the side panels of the star snaps. I admit, I get sucked into them. So I click on it. The woman looks like a Dutch truck driver, but has a great female body. I don't quite understand that one. What is that with the square face from Holland that he suddenly finds attractive? And thick, too, not on the thin side anymore. He's actually becoming a man who likes women. That's shocking. I never thought he'd grow up. Just to prove my point that what Donald Trump said about Obama being the founder of ISIS, I wrote about it in I just read to you from Government Zero. I want to play something from May 2015, clip 20, go. While ISIS was on a rampage into Ramadi, this character, liar Satan, was golfing. ISIS held a massive parade in West Anbar province, celebrating a victory in Ramadi. It went for a half a mile long. Do you remember under Bush we saw a highway of death? Where was one U.S. warplane? Why did the great commander-in-chief not launch an air attack against the ISIS parade of Toyota trucks with machine guns after they took the city before they started their pillaging, raping, and kidnapping? There's only one answer to this. And do you know what the answer is? They're working for Obama. They're working for the U.S. government. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Tell me why the U.S. Air Force was not instructed by the golfer to take out that parade. One warplane could have done it. That was on May 19th, 2015. So, all right, I'm just trying to show you something. Now, in the old days of Godard movies, which I loved in the 60s, he used to show people in the streets of Paris, the leftists would hold up signs with acronyms as agitprop. And my agitprop on that one would be RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. See, that says it all. But you have to go back to the era of agitprop to understand what I just said. RNC plus CIA equals NBCBS. That's sort of the agitprop that Godard would have used in one of his movies, but no one even knows who Godard is. No one even eats liver anymore, and I'm going to speak about that. No one eats organ meats. I just asked Robert, as a young guy, comes from a background where I think Eastern European. No, he said, no one eats liver. My mother ate it. She made me eat it as a kid. I hated it. But I just had a bite. Liver and onions, I can't believe how good it felt. It went right to my brain. I felt, did you ever eat food, some foods, like you could feel it go right into your brain, like an ice cream, for example, when it gives you the shock in the head? That's a bad example. I'm trying to think of foods that when you eat, you can feel it in your brain almost immediately. See, you know, it's not in your brain. It's the sense goes up. I took a bite of that liver. Suddenly it was the Petite Madeleines. Again, it's a reference that's obtuse. You need a literary background. Anyone listening know what I just said? I want to give away something. I want to test the audience. I just said, my eating that liver and onions just now was my equivalent of the Petite Madeleines. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. So what is the largest single ethnic group in the United States, since we're talking about ethnicity, ethnic foods, immigration? What is the largest single ethnic group in the U.S.? Answer, German-Americans. There are 46 million Americans with German ancestry. Do you know that? And many people don't even know that the German language itself is reflected in their surname. One of the most common form of German family names, often related to occupation, identified often by its ending, E-R, Hauer, Macher, or Mann. Bauer, farmer. Becker, baker. Klingemann, weaponsmith. Maurer, mason. Meyer, farm administrator. Müller, miller. Fleischer, butcher. Metzger, butcher. Weber, weaver. A Wagner, carter or a cartwright. If you are named Topfer or Tupfer, that means your ancestors were potters. If your name is Schultz, you are a you come from constables. If your name is Schneider, it means tailor. Schmidt means Smith. I don't know if people even know that, but often people were distinguished by references to his or her father, and that is referred to as patronymic. Simon, Arend, Peter, Johann. Many German surnames may be described as being based on a physical characteristic such as size or hair color. Brun, Braun, Eva Braun, brown-haired. Schwarzkopf, remember General Schwarzkopf, where'd he go? Great man, black-headed. Gross, big. Klein, small. Hertz, big-hearted. Krauss, curly-haired. I think it's very interesting. Now, there were geographical descriptions of names, not only in the German language, but also in other languages, but we're talking now on the biggest ethnic group in America, German Americans. Schwarzenegger, like Arnold, he comes from Schwarzenegg. Henry Kissinger means from Kissingen. A geographical name could also be one that derives from a landmark, Bush. B-U-S-C-H, named after a certain bush. Springborn, named after a spring or a well. Berger may have lived on a mountain. It's very interesting. I learned all of this from a thing on ancestry, and most of us don't even know our names do carry our heritage. We think we know it, and that's why names are so important. But as I said earlier in describing foods, foods carry whole cultures, especially ethnic cuisines, and it's a great way to teach children an awful lot about everything, and that's why earlier in the show I was joking, not so jokingly, describing what I was eating, liver and onions. It's disgusting, I know, to most Americans who live on very light diets. They eat very lean cuisine, which is a good thing in many different ways, but I think that it explains a lot of the emaciation of the soul and the body in America today. People may look like they're healthy because they're thin, but they're not. They're actually dying of starvation. They have no energy. They have no verve, no drive. And I think it's because they're eating diets that are too deficient in so many foods that have been dropped from our lexicon of foods. We won't eat them. You take a look at traditional Chinese cuisine. I know it sounds odd, but you know the Chinese eat all the organs of an animal. Did you know that? In fact, they reserve their organ meats for themselves. You'll never find it on the white menu, so to speak. But if you look at what the Chinese are eating next to you in an authentic Chinese restaurant in Chinatown, for example, they're often eating off-the-menu items which consist of organ meats. It's an interesting fact. It's something to think about. It's related to health. It's related to mental acuity. It's related to physical strength. And it's certainly related to the political situation that we're in today, where we are all exhausted from the campaign. And everybody needs a dose of health foods to get through the next 90 days before it's all over. On that pleasant note, I will bid you adieu, as they say, or used to say in France, before it was overrun by the Burkas. This is Michael Savage, asking you to visit me on michaelsavage.com and check out on Amazon Scorched Earth.